Rolling Stones have a lot of it figured out. Yeah, the Rolling Stones. That's right, the rock group. No, I didn't say they have it all figured out. I think they have a lot of it figured out. Now listen to me. Sympathy for the Devil, right? There's a great lyric in there. Confusing you is the nature of my game. That is actually scriptural. Hi, folks. This is Martin Zender broadcasting again from my Las Vegas studio. It's scriptural. Confusing you is the nature of my game. It's 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this eon blinds the apprehensions of the unbelieving. Blinds the apprehensions. Blinds the apprehensions. People have said to me, Martin Zender, don't be so hard on people. They're just confused. And I said, listen to Sympathy for the Devil. Confusing you is the nature of my game. That's what he does for a living. He blinds the apprehensions. If you're confused, then you're doomed. Confusion is fatal. That's his name of the game. He can't change the truth. He can only obscure it, and he can only mess it up for you and have you pursuing other activities such as going to church. Here I go again. I know. I'm sorry I'm so hard. No, I'm not sorry. I want to apologize for it. I'm going to take some highlights here from a comment some A.E. Nock makes that are quoted in The Church in Ruins, Clyde Pilkington's book, The Church in Ruins. I want you to get this book. studyshelf.com. This is a very easy to read book. I read it on an airplane one time flying from somewhere to somewhere else, and I was stunned. He just gets into points that you rarely consider. He takes the highlights of 2 Timothy. And again, this is an important letter because these are Paul's last words to us. So go to studyshelf.com and follow along with me in The Church in Ruins and find out why Paul wrote this letter and find out how much of a help it can be for you when you feel alone in the world during an era of apostasy. You got to love the Apostle Paul. He has the highest titles that a person can have, that a servant of Christ can have. It's like the Triple Crown. You don't really think of these as great titles. We look for titles like President, CEO, things like this. Paul was a herald. He was an apostle. He was sent from God, apostle, one sent. And he was a teacher of the nations. Oh, but Martin, he didn't have a very big church, did he? I've heard you say that all those ecclesias were small. The church in Rome was a dozen people in a living room. His parish was the entire world. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to use the word parish. That's my Catholic upbringing coming up. His audience was the entire globe. Every nation on the inhabited earth. Peter, James, and John, their message was for Israelites. Paul was to everyone. How great is this? How much greater is this in this era of the internet? Oh my gosh, we live in such a fantastic age to be a herald, to be an apostle and a teacher of the nations with the internet in place. We herald to every nation. This message is for all humanity. You can't say that about the circumcision gospel. Anybody who came to it through Israel. And in fact, you know, Paul, because of the miracle of his words being made immortal, his ministry extends throughout this entire era. It's in play now because God made sure it was written down. And this man, he's so hated. I'll tell you why Paul is so hated. He was the first one to herald the abolition of death. Nobody else did that. Because, no, even in the circumcision evangel, you think the book of Revelation is the last word God has to say on the topic of death. The last word God has to say, period. Because it's the last book in the Bible. It's not. In the book of Revelation, death is segregated. People aren't dying anymore on the new earth, but there are still many people, perhaps many, many people, in the lake of fire, which is the second death. Only Paul speaks of the abolition of death, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26. Nobody before Paul, not Peter, not James, not John, not any of the prophets, ever spoke of anything so amazingly radical that death itself would be done away. And they call me crazy for believing that everyone is going to live with God for eternity? How can you not when death is abolished? But Martin, what about the people in the second death? You know what my question always is? Okay, yeah, I acknowledge. There's the great white throne. People are cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. My question is always, what happens to them next? Oh, that question drives people crazy because they never consider it. They're raised to be with Christ. That's what happens to them next. They're made immortal. Prove it. 1 Corinthians 15:26, Christ abolishes death at the consummation of the eons. Not now, not during the kingdom, not even during the new heavens and the new earth. After that, What happens next? That's what you need to continually ask yourself. So nobody in the scriptures has the kind of scope Paul has, either in space or in time. He's got it. He's got the space-time continuum knocked down, this Apostle Paul. He takes us to a time before the eons. He shows us a time after the eons. We were called before Aeonian times, and he takes us to the consummation of the eons and shows God becoming all in all. And what did he get for it? We all want to get rewards for our work. What did Paul get? You would think, based on what he did, that they would have built him some gigantic cathedral. They did it for Peter. Why'd they do it for Peter? Yeah, those crazy Catholics, they built Peter a giant thing there in Rome. So what's it called? Yeah, Peter's Place. No, that's not it. What? Oh, yeah, St. Peter's Cathedral, whatever. What did they do for Paul? Nothing. Nothing. What? They loved Peter because the circumcision is a gospel that combines works and grace. All right, I know they've perverted that even. They've taken it to the next level of stupidity, but that's not my point. I'm just saying that there's no cathedral for Paul. Oh, so St. Paul's in London? Yeah, I do remember seeing that on Mary Poppins. Yeah, it's not as fancy. And besides, Paul would be rolling over in his grave if he heard what was being taught in these churches with his name on them. Well, so would Peter, for that matter. But nobody cares about Paul. When Paul was imprisoned, most of his followers left him. They were ashamed to have anything to do with him. It's like, where are you people hearing this truth that God is a God of grace, that we no longer have to be baptized or circumcised or... Where are you hearing this stuff? Oh, we're hearing it from this great teacher, this man that heard from the resurrected Christ. Oh, who? Paul. Isn't that the guy in jail in Rome? You see, it is so easy to become ashamed when you see how the inaugurator of this message, the great apostle, is treated. And so even his friends he's cut off from to the point that it was hard to even find him. Let me go to 2 Timothy 1:16. Look at this. Not even his best friends could find him. Paul says, "May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshes me and was not ashamed of my chain." The fact that he had to point out that this Onesiphorus was not ashamed of Paul's chain tells me that many people were ashamed of Paul's chain. They were embarrassed to say that their leader was a jailbird. So not only was Onesiphorus not ashamed of Paul's chain, but coming to be in Rome, he seeks me diligently and found me. He had to seek Paul diligently. Why? Because Paul was so anonymous, he was prisoner number 68514/B. That I don't know what the Greek letter for B is. Beta, yeah. 465189, whatever I said, slash beta. He was just an anonymous guy, and they had to seek for him diligently. Oh, Dan Sheridan and I had the same problem when we were looking for A.E. Knox grave at Forest Lawn Cemetery in Hollywood. This is where all the famous people are buried in Hollywood, and you got movie stars, and you got these gigantic erections. Oh, sorry, I'll work on that. Yes, wait a minute, let me change that. They got these gigantic monuments. How's that? There are gigantic monuments at Forest Lawn to these movie stars, and we sought diligently for A.E. Knock, and we couldn't find him. We eventually did find him, but it took us a while. We had to seek for A.E. Knock, the translator of the Concordant version, whom I respect greatly. We had to seek diligently for his gravestone. And yet at the snatching away, well, boy, what a sight that's going to be. All these famous people are going to be, their graves are just going to be sitting there. No excitement there, but the A.E. Knox grave is going to be illuminated with great light. And how about the Apostle Paul? We don't even know where he's buried. He's even more anonymously buried than A.E. Knox is. So how in the world could a guy who brought us this message be suffering indignities such as these? Is because he was God's ambassador to a messed up world. The world doesn't care about God, and the ones who do don't care about grace. They care about works. But he, in spite of everything he saw, was faithful to it. And I want to give you that message. In spite of everything you see, in spite of being disparaged by your friends and called crazy, I want you to stick with this message and try to remember this, that the great Apostle Paul, who many people in their churches laud and say how great he is. No, if your friends who think you're nuts, if they had gone back to Paul's day, they would have thought he was nuts. They would have thought he was nuts. They think they would have recognized him because they think that he had some kind of halo, and this is the Apostle Paul. No, the Almighty Apostle Paul was a jailbird, and they would have been embarrassed of him, just like they're embarrassed of you. So take courage with that. Take courage. You're doing the same thing Paul did. You're trying to make God's purpose known. You're trying to tell people about grace. You're trying to tell people what we have in Christ Jesus because of his crucifixion. And you're telling people that God has abolished death. But that doesn't work because people love death. They treated him shamefully. They treated our Lord shamefully. Why aren't they going to treat you shamefully? But you know what? Things are going to be switched around when the resurrection occurs. That's when things are going to be known. Oh wow. I got to go. We're going to talk about Hermogenes and Phygellus. These are two guys. Well, I'm going to save it for tomorrow. But any mother that would name their sons Hermogenes and Phygellus deserves what happens to them. We're going to find out about these guys tomorrow. And we are eventually going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. But I'm liking this introductory stuff. I'm liking sharing this with you. And I trust you are too because you're here. This has been Martin Zender from Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for tuning in. And we'll be back here tomorrow. God bless you all.